Very welcome back to the programme. I just want to let you know that the Lifford Health Centre GP surgery phone lines are down. This due to an internet outage. The surgery can't make or accept calls at the moment. Should you need to reach them, please contact the following mobile number. It's 087 064 4316. So the landline for the Lifford Health Centre GP surgery is down at the moment. A caller says, I use Chill Insurance comparison website. I was given 6 or 7 different quotes and saved myself €630. My quote was €980 and I paid €350. And that sounds about right. So for that person that was stressed out about an extra €1,000 for bill, please go on to a comparison website. And as I say, it's possible you don't have access to the internet. If we need to help you to relieve that stress on you in terms of searching or helping you in some way or other, please get back in contact with us. But you should be able to save money shopping around and maybe even possibly save money on what you were paying last year. Paul McLaughlin of Ballacdur Garden Centre is taking your gardening questions after 11. So we're in the full swing of things now. No fear of frost or anything like that. But we're in a drier spell of weather. There's not going to be rain now. There hasn't been for a week and there's no rain forecast for another 10 days. So that creates a different set of problems potentially in the garden and around it, on your window sills, inside your apartment or your flat or on your little balcony, whatever it might be. Any questions for Paul McLaughlin, get them into us now, if you don't mind, to 086 60 25000. And the reason being, I want to be able to answer every question that comes in. A caller said, I priced a hotel in Ireland. The expense is crazy. The choice of hotels has been restricted because many of them are used to house refugees. I can go to Thailand paying €600 for flights and €130 for a hotel. A hotel here wants €840 for 2 nights. Another wants €600 for the Friday and €700 for the Saturday. Now, the bottom line is at that price, hotels are not an option. Who could or would pay €600 for a bed? And that's effectively what a hotel is, isn't it? You get out of the bed and you bang your knees off the cupboard where you're supposed to put your clothes, but you never put them in there because you can't afford to stay there any longer. And you know, the tea maid or whatever it might be called, you know, it's ridiculous. Like I've said this before, and you know, maybe people think I'm tight, I don't know, but I can't find it in my heart to pay any more than 200, and that would be an absolute once off for a concert in Dublin or something. I don't know how people can fund hotel stays for €840 for 2 nights. My mortgage is up €300 since last year, yet my wages have remained the same. Is that €300 a month? If it is, that's €3,600 of a pay cut effectively, because you don't pay down the capital any quicker. That's just extra interest payments. It's like dead money. It's crazy, isn't it, that the system, but that's the way it is. A caller says, if you rent out a house full time, the house deteriorates and you have to pay for repairs. Tenants have rights and you cannot get the house back if they don't pay rent. It's more hassle than short-term renting. Thomas is wrong in thinking of making the people do the government's job. Donegal is dependent on tourism, yet the hotels are full of refugees. Well, they're half full in Donegal. If you remove tourism, people will lose their jobs. Hands off private property, they say. Another, hi, Greg, I don't think it's fair that tax has to be paid on inheritance gifts, especially a house where tax was already paid on building materials and property tax, etc. Sometimes the person inheriting has to sell because they cannot afford the tax. Yes, indeed. You will get someone who is gifted a plot of land and the tax could be €60,000-€90,000. They don't have anything and they can't accept the land. Reprices in Ireland. You can have a week in Glasgow City Hotel for the same cost as a weekend in Sligo. Ireland is a rip-off, they say. Another, hi, Greg. Totally agree with your sentiments about higher tax for Airbnb. The public have to pay the price for government failures to provide public housing. They're to blame for it. It was our own fault for electing them. Such a statement. It's the same old story. Fair play for sticking it to Thomas Pringle. And it's anyone, any elected politician, they're in a position and, you know, we'll question them. And it's a healthy debate. Greg, mentioned to Thomas Pringle, what next? Will the government be allowed to come into your house and take half the food in your fridge? Well, the new housing referendum wording will potentially allow the government to take you out of your house where it's deemed to be more than your needs. I hope people understand this. This is not government. You know, there's a lot of people in government against this. This is a proposal that stalled, as far as I'm aware, from People Before Profit. This is not actually government legislation. As I say, I think they're trying to actually block this legislation. But I noticed in some Telegram channels and elsewhere, unless I'm very much mistaken, it's been shared as a government policy to effectively to be able to take your house off you. But my understanding is it's a just a motion from people before profit, and there is little to zero appetite in government for this. But anyway, I'll read on. The new housing referendum wording will potentially allow the government to take you out of your house where it's deemed to be more than your needs, transfer you to a smaller property and give it to a resident of the country. Not a citizen, a resident. That's the type of lunacy that makes up the government ethos in its duty of care to citizens. Again, I'm going to dig into that. My understanding is that's an opposition party proposition and one the government is not in agreements with. Oh my God, Greg, I can't believe what I'm hearing this morning. I wonder, does himself have extra property? He has a nerve. Is there not enough tax on people, i.e. property tax? We all have to pay this. The government needs to get a grip and sort the housing problems. This is going on for years and years, and yet the government did no checks, proper checks and assessments in the quarries. And look where that has left poor people that can't afford to pay big money to mend the situation. This has left a complete and utter mess in housing the way it stands. Homelessness is a big, mega mess. The poor people of Ireland, again, to sort out government problems. And it's just important to note that the level of homelessness in the Northwest here, any person homeless is one too many, is actually on the decline. It declined month on month. The homelessness crisis is countrywide, of course, but it is primarily centred on Dublin. And the rate of homelessness per 100,000 people in Donegal is much lower. There has been a slight increase. Do you know what? While I'm here, I might, rather than pontificating off the top of my head, I'll give you the statistics here. The level of homelessness in Donegal and the Northwest has decreased month on month by 8. It increased by 67, though, over a year. 60% of homeless people in Ireland are Irish, by the way. Again, I thought that an interesting statistic. I don't know what it means. But the rate of homelessness in the Northwest here is approximately, for every 100,000 people in the population, 106 are homeless. Now, that figure might not take into consideration those who are bunking in someone else's house or couch surfing, but that's the actual statistics for this area. For every 100,000 people, 106 are homeless, and there has been a slight decrease month on month on the level of homeless. Now, I'm not in any way trying to say there's not a problem. I'm just so there's the I do like to sort of put facts out there in case it helps. Hi Greg, have one beside me. This must be an Airbnb. No planning for these, and had a party of 15 partying all night. Lovely. That comes in from Oisin. Yeah, okay. I totally agree on a crackdown on Airbnb houses. The one next to me was converted into two flats, and from Thursday night to Monday morning, it's a party house. Well, you see, that's how they're running their Airbnb as well, because you can put in rules and regulations. And I think because there's a person next to you who's effectively running a party house in the weekend, is that justification for a crackdown on everyone that's providing Airbnb accommodation? It would seem like an overreaction. I think that needs to be looked at. And call the guards as well. You're entitled to your peace and sleep, you know. Greg, use water from your dryer in your steam iron slot. Keep it in a bottle. No problem with brown blobs. Then your clothes, on your clothes when ironing. I'm lucky enough that I have good water and I don't have that problem. But okay, thank you. I'll pass that on to Lee Gooch because he has a problem with brown spots. Thomas is an on the fence man, says the listener. Another, the problem here is the people did not elect this government. It's proportional representation. And, you know, as I say, a lot of people elected independents. And they opted, chose not to go into government to try and affect change from within for their own reasons. And they get elected or deselected on those grounds. A caller says, I don't have property to rent, but I don't think it's fair to punish people using their property for Airbnb. It's less headaches and cost for the owners. Another, fair play, holding the Irish government to account and asking Mr. Pringle the difficult questions. The Irish government's answer to absolutely everything is up the tax and people are sick of it. You know, and even in, I heard this morning, even in a country that we're the 26th most wealthy country in the world, can you believe that? Or the strongest economy. And we know there's this separation between us here on the ground and where this money is. We don't feel it, do we? We don't see it in our services. We don't see it in the housing. We don't see it in health. I mean, that's the truth. I don't think I'm saying anything controversial here. Yes, there's been great advances in certain areas. A lot of work to do. But IBEC are saying now is the time to increase taxes on people. And we've got calls in the paper today to tax older people more because God forgive them for living longer and want to retire and actually have some time to themselves when they're not breaking the bank. So we've got this situation where the country has never been richer, we're told. A lot of things have never been worse. And we have organisations and think tanks calling for tax now, extra tax now. It's crazy. We're all paying extra for our petrol and diesel this morning. Why? You know, the government made more money on petrol and diesel over the last year than it had in previous years because the price was high and they get more VAT from that. This is just this. It's like living in an alternative universe. I'm disabled and I have no income, says this listener. I plan to rent my house on Airbnb to make some money over the summer. Why does Thomas Pringle want to reduce my potential only income? Build social housing, hands off mine, they say. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We welcome onto the programme now the founder of website autismdad.ie, John Joe McGinley. Good to have you back on the show. John Joe, thanks for taking the time out.
Well, good morning, Greg, and good morning to all your listeners, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Right, okay, we're going to be talking about July provision now, and we'll talk specifically about the situation that you're encountering, but I want to widen the conversation so that everybody understands it, and if other parents and guardians are affected, that they can get involved in the conversation. So, as best you can, John Joe, describe to us what the July provision is.
July provision is something that's given to children with additional needs. And my boy, eldest boy, I've got two boys with autism, and the eldest boy, James, was applying for the July provision. He's had it every year from school. What happens is at the end of the school year, they are normally allocated 2 weeks of additional school support. This is provided by a special needs assistant or a teacher, who can then help them transition from that period of adjustment into the school holidays, which can be a major impact for children on the autism spectrum who rely on that routine.
Okay, so the end of the school term would be seen like as a cliff edge, and this is a period of time to transition to the where things change, routine change, they're not going to school for the rest of the summer holidays.
And it's also to help build on some of the weaker aspects that they may have within their educational or even their social makeup. It can be about focusing on a specific thing like maths. It could also be about just to socialise the child, to help. And the other thing is, it's a bit of a respite for the parents as well. But I think the key aspect for it is that it's something that has been very, very beneficial for children with additional needs, especially autism. It helps with that socialisation. It can also, in a more one-to-one environment, give them that little boost in certain areas of weakness that can be discussed in advance with parents, teachers, mm-hmm. and then it's all about getting the right person to help them, be it through socialisation or even through that additional educational requirement.
Okay,
and
so who makes
so reliant on parents.
Sorry, John Joe, who makes the call then? Is it the school? Is it the Department of Education? Is this like something you have to apply for and it's allocated? Or is it at the discretion of the school principal and their staffing resources? So, and as I say, we'll get to your specific case shortly, but I just want to get a broader understanding of...
It's a combination of all three. What schools can, especially the junior schools, can actually provide 2 weeks in-house. So again, it's a transition for the children. They're in an environment that they're very well used to. But also, as the children get older, and also if the school doesn't have the facilities to provide the July provision in-house, you can apply for in-home July provision, where you can apply to the education department for that 2 week period, and then you have to go and source a special needs assistant or even somebody with the educational requirements to then offer that support to the child in the home. And that can really help with the socialization, because again, in that 2 week period, not only can you have that educational balance and that uplift, you can also get the child out and about. Social situations, you know, it might sound simple, but for children with autism, even just being in a cafe ordering food for themselves is a major step. It's a milestone. It's something that that really builds their self-esteem, helps them to socialise, reduces the anxiety. And that's the key thing, because during that long period of the school break, where routines are out of kilter, anxiety can increase within children. So any support that's offered, even for such a short period, is so welcomed by the parents and also so appreciated by the children. So it's a combination of all three, where the school can decide if they have the resources, and if not, you can apply for in-house at-home July provision.
Now, the whole purpose of this conversation too is always to get an education, John Joe, for those who aren't aware, but also really to tell people that if you are refused, don't necessarily just accept that as the final answer. So what was your situation with you and your boys?
I think the key thing is, if you're a parent of any child with additional needs, you have to become an advocate. You might not want to be, you might not have the skill set or even sometimes the confidence, but it will grow over time and you have to become that advocate. And we became the advocate for our eldest boy when he was actually refused the in-home 2-week July provision, after we'd actually sourced a special needs assistant from his school who was willing and able to provide that 2-week support. Now, the education department had deemed that because there was an existing summer school in his high school, that was sufficient, and that meant that he didn't qualify for the additional 2 weeks of July provision. Now, the key thing for our child is that he suffers from OCD and extreme anxiety, which is very, very common in young teenagers with autism. So, as everything, as over the years, when you have to realise you have to fight for everything in the state for our children with special needs, we didn't accept that refusal. We went back to them and highlighted that the whole reason that he was going to participate in the 2-week summer school at his existing high school was for that socialisation, to try and overcome that anxiety. And he might not even be able for it. He might even, after a couple of days, decide that it's too overwhelming, it's too intense for him. We went back and stated that. We also identified the key areas where he was suffering from anxiety and OCD, and how that impacts and gets worse over the long summer period.
And how he could regress as well, too. That's you key. Make that point, which I think is a really important point. It's not about standing still. It's the fact that he could regress in the absence of this provision.
Yes, it was fundamentally important. He's had it since he was a young child. And thankfully, with the very fact that we mentioned your show, we mentioned the TDs, we worked very closely with the school to go back to the education department, and they very, very quickly changed their mind. And the moral of the story is that any parent with children with additional needs, if you're given a refusal for be it for diagnosis, be it for support, be it from the educational department, we have to be the advocates for our children. We are their voice. They are entitled to this support as citizens of the state. Not only to deserve it, they're entitled to it, and we have to be that voice.
But do you find, John Joe, that you've, and we can get to the, that we'll finish up with the how you can urge me, but do you find with people dealing with everyday life, you know, we've been talking about on the programme today, cost of living, maybe the extra challenges of having a child or children with additional needs, that they feel jaded for the fight. Do you know what I mean? That they go, I just don't think I can sort of start entering into a back and forwards email tete-a-tete with the Department of Education. Do you come across that people just, you know, just feel that they can't fight another fight?
I think it's very, very common, and fatigue is there. You know, most parents with children with special needs, we they're not our only child. So we have a family life. We have the same challenges as everybody else. And there's also increased costs that are brought about by support that you have to have in for a child with additional needs. And it can lead to a jading. But you then have to look at your child, and you have to look at how you want to make sure that they can progress as best as possible and not regress. And regardless of how jaded you might feel, and if anybody's ever had to fill out a form for support for their children,
they know all about it.
Daunting, how jaded it can actually make you. You just have to pick yourself up and look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that we're the voice of our children. And if we stay silent, they're not going to get the support that they require and deserve.
Yeah. So what is your final parting advice then for parents?
I think the most important advice for parents is not to be alone. I think if any parent out there who is looking for support for their children, they have to create a support network. You can do that face to face with other parents, but more importantly, you're not alone. Join the many Facebook groups that are out there. You can also look for information from my website, autismdad.ie. Join as many Facebook groups as you possibly can. And the most important part about it is to realise that you're not alone. Create a diary of what the requirements are for your child. Look at the support that that diary means that they have to have, and write down the key individuals that can help you get that support. Be it the Child Disability Network team, be it CAMHS, be it your local politician. Make sure that for every need that your child has, you have a route to get that support for them. And the most important thing is never, ever accept the word no from anybody, because our child are citizens of this country and they deserve the support that they're entitled to.
All right. Well, I'm very glad that you, for you and your son particularly, that you...
We're delighted.
in terms of your success with the Department of Education. So thanks very much for joining us. Good to speak to you again, Jonjo.
I know. Thank you very much, Greg. And everybody have a fantastic day. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. That's Jonjo McGinley, founder of AutismDad.ie. Okay, we're going to head now to Ballybuffet, and we're speaking to Tracy Alexander, owner of a shop that everyone will be familiar with. It's a great shop in Ballybuffet. It's Alexander's of Ballybuffet. Tracy, thanks for joining us, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm all right. Now, you know, often when we talk about traffic disruptions and omelettes and eggs and all that kind of stuff, we're speaking really maybe solely as motorists, but as a business person, has your business been severely impacted by the ongoing works in the Twin Towns?
It has, Greg. It has. Ours and everybody's business really has been affected. The last few weeks really have been a nightmare. I spoke with one of the local restaurant owners there just recently, and he said, I mean, these are the worst weeks he's had since COVID. You know, it has been tough. Yeah.
There's two things going on. Northbound traffic, you know, you don't want to stop. Is there a parking space? You want to just make sure you get through. And there's a huge reduction in southbound traffic as well, because I think the majority of traffic is going around Ballybuffet, really.
That's right. That's right. And then we also have the fact that local people, you know, some of maybe we do have quite an elderly community here in Ballybuffet and Stranorder. And, you know, it's difficult. The one-way system now, it's brilliant. It's very good. But some people do find that difficult. They're out of their normal way of working, of going wherever they usually go. And the whole town is kind of upset. If you like, the whole town has a huge tummy ache, really. Mm. You know, so everybody's affected every way.
Yeah, but it's kind of bittersweet, isn't it? Because I think you've been full of praise for local people for making the effort, even if it takes a little bit more time to continue to shop local.
Absolutely, absolutely. As always in Ballybuffet, I mean, we have an amazing community here. We have an amazing local community, and we have an amazing business community here in Ballybuffet. So we're all trying to support each other as much as we can. Local people, again, are fantastic. And I think, and I put out a Facebook post there recently just about the guys here in the town who are doing the work, not only the work and the traffic management, the road traffic management. I've actually never seen anything like it. It has been running so smoothly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually all down to the guys that are doing it. It's astounding. They're so helpful to everybody, to motorists. They're so quick to spot where a traffic jam could happen. Or even the last day, I was thinking I had to go down into Stranorder, down past the Fun Valley Centre and out at Dreenan. Are you familiar with that road?
Too familiar lately, but go on, yeah.
So it's been a nightmare getting out at the top of that road. Yeah. But the next day I went down, they had two guys there doing road traffic management.
Yeah.
They see things. And they act on them. I mean, it's just been amazing. And the work is actually going really quickly. They hope to be off the street now, I think, this weekend, because we have a huge weekend in town this weekend. We have athletics, we have football, we have Blessing of the Graves, we have, there's two big weddings, I think, as well in town, local weddings. You know, so we have a lot going on.
So it's actually really, Tracy, an important message, you know, because people change their travel habits when there's long-term road work. So effectively, all being well, fingers crossed, Ballybofastrenall are open for business for this busy holiday weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing as well that I think local people maybe weren't aware of is the roadworks are going on, I think it's 8 to 9 months, but that's not 8 to 9 months on the main street. Mm. You know, there's maybe 6 weeks in the main street. They're moving now in behind Alice Bonner's shop there in Stranorda. That's where the next section is. You know, there's different sections all over the place, so it's not just on the main street.
Yeah. They do, and I think credit where it's due. It's Jennings O'Donovan Engineers and Wardenburg Contractors. Yes. And we can be critical, and you want to be appraising of them, so that's good. Before we move on, Tracy, do you think that businesses as part of a contract should be considered? You know, you referred this or referenced this being like COVID. Do you think, or is it unrealistic to sort of suggest that maybe, I don't know, a break on commercial rates or water rates or some sort of state support? Would that be too much to ask when there is definitely going to be long-term disruption to businesses?
No, I don't think it would be, Greg, to be honest. I mean, businesses have really been hit so hard this year. You know, we had the wages increase in January, which was quite significant. The rates bills are all actually coming out. They've all been re-rated this year. The rates bills are coming out. You know, we have water bills coming, you know, and everything's getting more expensive. Mm. But yet our takings aren't going up because obviously we've been affected.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's not just me. I mean, we don't have a huge amount of businesses in Stranorda, but they have been really badly affected nobody's going to stop, you know.
Yeah. And listen, it's not hard to work it out either. You can look at the bottom line from one month to the next and on previous years. So you know yourself, the drop off in footfall or passing trade, the impact it has. Okay. Right. So it's a mixed message. It's been a tough time, but credit where it's due and on to better and brighter days. Is that an assessment, Tracy?
Oh, absolutely. And another thing as well is that our local Chamber of Commerce, we have a great Chamber of Commerce here in town, and they have been great at liaising with the contractors and the engineers. So we have been updated. We've been getting emails and text messages constantly to let us know what's happening, which has been fantastic. That has been a great bonus. It's even for your staff to let them know, like, listen, the street's closed tomorrow morning, you know, come in some other way, or something as simple as that, you know. So that's been a huge part of it as well. But I know we're so grateful for all the local people, you know, for still coming into town and supporting us, you know, which is great.
So tell us, why should we call into Alexander's of Ballybuffet? What can we get?
Oh, Alexander's is the place to be, Greg. You have to go to Alexander's.
Is it for all your needs? Yeah, okay. You can get everything. Well, you can get lots of different stuff, can't you?
Absolutely. Downstairs we have grocery and we have convenience bits and pieces. We also sell coal and animal feed. Yeah. And then upstairs we have a beautiful coffee shop. We just opened the coffee shop, of course, at the start of the pandemic. We'd realised there was a pandemic coming, we probably wouldn't have done it. But we have a lovely coffee shop upstairs and we sell books and gifts and nice little bits of furniture.
Right.
And our staff are amazing. That's why you want to come to Alexander's, because they go the extra mile. They're brilliant.
All right, good stuff. Right, okay, it's worth coming.
Is that
on
a good enough reason to call in?
Yeah. Hey, come here. I'm all about supporting business. Well done to you, Tracy. And I love your realistic, balanced approach. You know what I mean? And providing credit where it's due as well, Tracy. Continued success there. And hopefully now two lanes open, up and down traffic. And it's a great weekend for everyone. All right,
great.
Tracy,
so
bye-bye.
Much,
take care
on.
Of yourself. Lovely to speak to you, Tracy. That's Tracy of Alexander's of Ballybuffet. Councillor Patrick McGowan joins us now. Councillor McGowan.
Good morning, Greg.
I mean, obviously, it is an interesting proposition, isn't it? You know, when there's clearly going to be some disruption to business incomes, if the council could work with them on rates or something of those along those lines, to accept that, you know, it's a pain in the bum for a motorist, but you know, it's a pain in the pocket for businesses. Do you think anything like that could possibly be looked at?
I don't see it happening from the council point of view, but it's certainly something the government would look at, that maybe when these big jobs, these big national primary road jobs or like what's going on there in Letterkenny or previously it happened in Balbofay. But even some of our smaller towns and villages there in the schoolie way back a couple of years ago, like there was a shop there, like, and like for nearly 9 months, like they were virtually closed. There were barriers up around it, and I would say it was a lot worse than 50%. They lost a lot more, and you know, and then like it's to lose the custom, but then the fact then you still have the same overheads, the bills, the staff, and then the council comes with the rate. So I think a song should be built into these big contracts, you know, where you're in the streets for a long, long time, and we obviously had that. But there's a big change this year, as you say, from a couple of years ago when the big job was coming under Donegal Road into Balbofay, and then what's been going on for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, and even if it was done retrospectively, do you know what I mean? That a business could prove a loss of earnings, it wouldn't all be met by government, but you know what I mean? That there would be some sort of a compensation, because it is they that are making some of the greatest sacrifices. What is the situation then into how this work is progressing? They seem to be cracking on with it at a great pace. Once they get off the main street, is that the back broken of it, do you think, or what's the story?
It definitely is. No, a couple of years ago, we got an upgrade there of the sewage treatment plant. Now it's a massive, big new treatment, probably one of the best in the county, and it's built for the future. It's enough for I'm not sure how many thousand people. I think it's around 9,000 it's built for. But the problem was, particularly in Stranorder, there was quite a few businesses flooded up there over the years, and properties where the old sewer and the storm drain were mixed together, and this was a priority. So there's a massive job that's gone on for about a year now, and there'll be more work done around the avenue, around by Fun Park, new pumps and new piping. But the main street in Stranorder now is all but finished this weekend. They're moving in now into Andy's, Alice Bonner's shop there in the back of that, and they're going up the back of the buildings there, up across from Keys Hotel and at the back and right up to the top of the street. So that's all off street now. Now, the wall will occasionally have to come back out for joining up in pipes and that, but no, as you say yourself, the back of it's broke. Now, later on, the wall will be coming out, as I say, out by Fun Park. There's a new pumping station out there to service all them houses. It's under pressure at the moment, and they have to take a new pipe in by Navanay and down on by Chestnut Road there and past Fun Park. That'll be done later on, but this is the biggest inconvenience, and as I say, it's gone very well. But one of the reasons, and Tracy talked about it there, there was good communication for over a year ago with the Chamber of Commerce, ourselves and the council, and Irish Water. This is what brought this down, and there was good communications beforehand, plans. This one-way system was agreed about a year ago. We actually thought this job would start earlier, but even the timing of the job was agreed when the best time of the year, when it wouldn't be too busy or too quiet, you know what I mean, before the summer rush. And the whole thing was well planned and it was well executed, which Tracy sent together. But it's great praise to the way the Chamber of Commerce in the town, they kept updating the business every day. Any wee problems were tweaked, and I must say that the people and the contractors, they were very amenable. They answered the phone straight away, and when there's a long tail backing out the Donegal Road, because before the work started in Balfrey, as we know, the traffic jams are already there in the mornings and evenings, so it's how to manage it. So, look, I certainly wouldn't be against it. They should build in a costing to so compensating some of the business. Some of the small business could not carry
next time we have the business minister on, we'll ask them. Is the two-way traffic...
It's not a big figure.
Yeah. Is the two-way traffic in Stranorder just for the weekend or for longer? So, you know, hopefully it's open for holiday
weekend. No, it's going
to
be longer now.
Longer, okay.
It's going to be longer. They're out tarring now the road. Now they do have to come back out onto the street just where they're turning in.
Intersects and stuff.
Alice Bonner's there. Just there'll be maybe a stop go or something like that. But the hope now to have it all finished. Everything's going well. They're on schedule.
Well, they've got the weather for it anyway. A caller says, doesn't it prove what a bypass would do to the shops in Balbofay? Would drive them all out of the town. You just wouldn't stop. I disagree with that, though.
I think,
to be honest with you, if there was less through traffic, it would be more attractive place to drive into and shop. Now, some bypasses kill some towns, they don't kill the other. I think Ballybofey-Stranraer would actually benefit greatly from it. I think they could... I don't think this proves anything in that regard.
I'll tell you
with
what it would be,
Greg.
There will be challenges, and the town will have to change with it and prepare and hope the regiment. The other thing is, when the TAI are no longer in charge of the road in Ballybofey, do you see the likes of the entrance there to a shopping centre there at going to McLennan's, and you see there at the Bank of Ireland, and up then up at where Lidl is, we'll be able to start putting in roundabouts and different things. Locally in the council, we can't do nothing to town about parking. There's a lot of things where our hands are tied because the TIA dictates the way the town is. They want the traffic going through. Where when the town is bypassed, we will be able to change that, make it more customer friendly, pedestrianised areas, and do a lot more. Mm. Hopefully then it'll be good shopping experience. People can enjoy the day. Okay. And there are parks now for more plaza areas and family friendly. Look, we'll meet them challenges when they come, and we do need the bypass.
Caller says there's a serious pothole at the junction between Charles Bonner's factory and Trusk Road in Ballybofey. Cars are getting damaged. Please fix. Is that as you would turn off at Finn Park and then turn right up into Navaney Car Park? You can't use the left lane there because the road is in bits. Is that where they're talking about? Do you know?
Could you say it again?
Not really, because I'm not from the area. So say you're at Finn Park, right? And you head out towards Sessie O'Neill, but you turn right into Navaney Car Park there, out towards the Lidl Aldi that's there. At that junction, you can't use the left lane heading towards Donegal Town because there's a mass, the road's in bits there, and you find yourself having to cross over into the other lane. Yeah. It would be well worth getting it fixed, I think.
They're tearing the roads at the moment, and one day a week they're doing potholes, so I'll make sure that they get out there.
And last one, why did the council close the bridge on the back road out of Ballybofey, especially now when there is roadworks on the main road? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, it's been on your radio there for a couple of weeks there. Maybe someone put up the big sign about the bra. That was because that road has fallen apart, and we promised to get it done. We couldn't hold it back. And you see, this weekend, there were a lot of people using that road as well as a bypass, so we had to do it.
So it was to avoid the bra straps having to be tightened and the dentures. Okay. All right, good stuff. All right, thanks very much indeed. Councillor Patrick McGowan there. Right, caller says, I love Alexander's, best shop about, and as Tracy says, lovely staff. You can get anything you need in there in the best cafe about. Okay, right. Hey, you're very welcome back to the show. And it's that time of year again where Robert O'Connor, chair of Relay for Life, joins us. You're very welcome on to the programme, Robert. How are you keeping?
I'm good, Greg. Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you with us. Okay, so it's just around the corner now. Relay for Life Donegal takes place this year from 5 p.m. on Saturday, June 3rd to 5 p.m. on Sunday, June 4th. And it's at the beautiful grounds of the ATU, the Donegal campus there in Letterkenny.
Yep, we're so privileged to have the facility there in the ATU, formerly LYIT. We've been there every year, and Paul Hannigan and staff have been so generous and so good to us. It's been tremendous.
Right, so tell us about this year. Oh, I'll leave that up to you because it goes on for so long, you see. There's so much that goes that does go on. So how does it kick off?
Kicks off at 5 o'clock with our Survivors Lap. There's a bit of music on stage with Liam Boyle beforehand, but officially it kicks off at 5 o'clock, where our survivors, people in purple t-shirts, have the first lap of the field, followed by their caregivers, and then the team parade. And then the survivors are taken for a banquet in the LYATU halls. What do we call it? Canteen area.
Yeah.
There. And then music starts on the stage, and coming up to about 10:30 at night, Moira Brennan is there for the candle ceremony, which is narrated by Highland's own Donald Kavanagh. And that's, you know, really one of the highlights of the whole event. Very emotional thing where people take time to remember, you know, the loved ones were earlier at the Survivors Lap. They're actually celebrating, you know, cancer survivorship and people going through their journey through the night. It sort of calms down a little bit. Then the morning we have Mass at 7 a.m. We have a really lovely 2 hours then from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock with Aidan Murphy, our gospeler and ecumenical service. And it really is lovely. And we invite people to come into the hall and be part of that audience. If they're there for about 8:45 in the morning, it would be great. And it's out live. And the whole event is streamed live as well. So we hope to have that link for Highland tomorrow. You've been good to us with promoting that in the past, and hopefully we'll have that tomorrow. and it concludes then on the Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. But one of the things this year we have for the first time is around about 12 o'clock on Sunday, Muncher Lee Gooch from Roll Call for Relay is there with a school disco for the kids. And that was a great initiative.
A better man than Lee.
Absolutely, you know, a great initiative. And thanks to Linda and Lee and Hyland for promoting that. It was fantastic. It was really fantastic.
And one thing which, with all the best organisation in the world, is that you can't organise the weather. But the higher powers have done that for you. So anyone attending, you're actually going to have to bring your sunblock or a big hat.
Absolutely.
That's the reality, because the weather's going to be lovely.
Yep, and we believe that the higher powers have done that. Seamus Devine on our committee believes he has done it, like, you know, but however...
Where's Seamus from?
Seamus is from Castlefin.
Castlefin, Ireland.
So he's our weatherman.
Yeah,
okay. And one thing he did ask me to say, do not go on without asking for volunteers. He still needs some volunteers.
Okay, well, how do people volunteer?
If they get in touch either directly with Seamus or through relayforlifedonegal@gmail.com.
Right, okay, so there is an amazing list of artists, so don't want to leave anyone out, but on Saturday at 4 p.m, Elaine Boyle, The Survivors, The Career Lap, John Lowe's doing the opening ceremony, David Craig's there, Dermot Fergal and Rachel McConnell, Seamus McGee, Hugh McLean, Gareth Kerwin, Hugo Duncan, Amy Meehan, Wildflowers, Bree Carr, Callum Keaveney, Moya Brennan, and on it goes, you know what I mean? And then on Sunday, yep, from 1 to 6 p.m, Team Rest, 6 a.m, Wakey Wakey, Sarah Marie, 7 a.m, Mass, as you mentioned, 9 p.m, The Gospel Hour, 10, Economical Service, and then 11:20, there's a Keith Fletcher, Lee Gooch or Keith Fletcher, I don't know, whichever.
Not the two of them, at the same time. Oh my God.
People think me and Lee about, all right, that's going to be good fun, stroke chaos. And on it goes, Ukulele Group, Norman Borland, Noel Shevlin's in there, Anne Biddy, Simon Peters, and so on up until the closing cemetery. My apologies if I've left anyone else, but it's for people to dip in and out. So what's the relay side of it? You just talk, because we often don't talk about that, me and you. So.
Yep, the relay side is, it's a walk around the track for 24 hours. It was started by a Dr. Gordy Klatt, mm-hmm, year in 1983, I think it was, in America. And he raised about $20,000 that year running. And then he decided that it was easier to walk it from then on. And
I
now
like
it's in 32 years.
Yeah.
32 countries, in the world.
And how do people raise money?
They raise money by all sorts of things. You know, over the weekend, the teams all have a little fundraiser at their gazebo. But it's more fun than actually fundraising at the weekend, because by that stage they have it all done. There's been pub quizzes, there's been cake sales, there's been in Dunloe, the little band, school band over there, did a fundraiser for us with a drone and everything, where they actually, you know, spelled out one at one and the thing. There's all sorts of things, and face painting, you name it.
And you have struck the balance now, and we want to see a huge year this year, because like many annual events, COVID sort of threw a spanner in the work, and then when you come back, people are out of the routine and stuff. I don't know what the figure, I'm not saying that's the case here, but anyway, the weather's going to be great. We want this to be bigger and better than ever. So many of us would either get cancer, be affected by cancer, or lose someone to cancer. In fact, I can safely say that there's no one listening that doesn't fall into those categories. So this is striking the balance as well between remembrance, hope, the future,
yep,
research, you know what I mean? It's all encompassing, and I think that's right across the programme. You see that.
Yeah. I mean, the statistics show that now one in two of us will get cancer in our lifetime. But on the positive side, the
survival
treatments
are
so good that survival rates are much better and people are living longer.
Not as much in the West and Northwest, so we have to keep that separate fight going, and we're going to do that here on this show as well. So together, let us celebrate, remember and fight back, and that's what it's all about. Okay?
Absolutely.
And, you know, stay tuned to Highland Radio if you can't get down, because some people will want to get a sense of what's going on and they can't travel for one reason or another, and people will get a real sense of what's going on here as well.
Absolutely. And Highland have been so supportive of us since 2012.
We're part of it. We're all the same people that could get cancer, have gotten cancer, survived cancer, died because of cancer, and our loved ones. We are the community. We're all together.